Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
With Travis Bowles.
He traded a Hulkbuster for that.
I go and see the doctor and he says, hey, you got to lose some weight. He told me he wants to put me on some weight loss pill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, sign me up for that shit.
Pete McCarthy.
If you don't pull out like a 1994 S10 pickup out of that box, you got that opinion is wrong, Steven. Nothing you can say makes that not wrong. I'm literally chewing Travis's fecal matter. I'm swallowing it down so I can keep talking. All right?
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
I could arm wrestle her, and then I could beat her, and I could probably impress her because she'd be like, wow, this guy's even tougher than the Mandalorian. I don't know why it says bullpen.
That's where the artists and writers will sit in a bullpen. Yes,
oh, you couldn't say that nowadays. It'd have to be bulls and cows.
Me.
I think I am this show. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 202 of the My Wife is Gonna Kill Me podcast. I'm your host, Steve Bisciotti. With me today, as always, are the two best co-hosts a host could have, starting with Travis Bowles. How you doing, Trav?
Wonderful.
And next to him and on top of Trav on the computer screen is Pete McCarthy. How you doing, Pete? How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing good, man. Your mic is starting to sound a little bit rough.
Just it is. Know. That's no good. What's going on here? Does it sound weird to you too, Trav?
I don't know if I'd say weird. I'd say loud.
Oh, it's loud, huh? Was I talking too loud? Should I just calm down?
Maybe. Did you have some coffee this morning or something?
No. That's just how I do it at the shop, and it sounds right. And it sounds right in here, in my headphones right now.
It probably sounds fine. Steve, Pete might have just been effing with you.
Who knows with you guys? Pull some crap like that. All right. So
why are we zooming?
Because I stuck too many toys up my butt. Is the real reason. I have to have a very serious procedure on Tuesday.
An intrusive procedure?
Yeah, I have
you mean
to,
invasive?
Is that those are all accurate words? I have to have a colonoscopy, and it's got to go down Tuesday. And I need to go in there and see what kind of damage I've done from all the spears and crossbows and things that I've shoved up there. And, basically it's, stems back from my love for toys, and that's what you do things with when you love them, is stick them up your butt. So that's what I do. And now I have to go have it looked at. So anyways, in order to do that, I had to have a, COVID test yesterday. Got my results already. Negative. That's right. That's because that's what safe living does for you, fellas. Keeps you negative. Keeps you in the
right.
Negative zone.
Or it could be when your job is to walk blindly into people's homes on a regular basis that may or may not have COVID, wearing nothing but a paper mask, because I am also COVID negative. So it's either hiding in your basement or it's not changing your life at all and increasing all of your risk factors because of your career. It's one of those two things, I'm sure, that keeps us COVID-free.
I'm not following you.
I'm not sure if I'm COVID-free, to be honest.
Well, you think you have it right now?
No.
Oh, So how?
I just don't know how I wouldn't have had it.
Oh.
That's how I feel. I can't figure out a way that I didn't get it.
You probably did. Maybe I did. I don't know. But.
Steven, do you feel like this is, like, look at where this podcast has gone. You know, we started out just some young kids talking about toys, and now we're actually talking about someone going inside your rectum.
In my defense, I was the only one that started this young, so.
No, I mean, I guess it's just you guys wanted to know why I can't be there to the podcast today, and I'm explaining it, and it just happens to involve a rectal probing.
You know, now that I actually think about it, this podcast has actually always been based on rectal probing.
There you go.
Damn, I do look thin up on my little camera in the corner.
Yeah, that angle's pleasing.
I'm like half of myself.
That's nice.
You know what you need to do, Peter?
Nope, still fat.
What you need to do is now walk like hunched over, so people have to look down on you.
I don't think it works with actual eyes. In
Steve,
person.
Can I ask? I don't want to be overly personal, obviously, but this is just kind of the age-based routine. It's time to get a colonoscopy. Like, we're not concerned about anything, right?
No, I'm too. You don't get them. You don't start getting them routinely till 50. So.
Okay. So this is elective for pleasure.
No, this is no. I had some things going on. I went to the doctor. I said, hey, I don't like this very much. You know. And he says, you know, it's probably a hemorrhoid thing. But, you know. 42 years old, you never know, you can't be too careful. I want you to have a colonoscopy. I walked out of that office, and I never had that exact problem again.
They literally climbed right back into your asshole. They're like, they're going to touch me, and they climbed right back in there.
But when I went to my, but that's what he's like, you need a colonoscopy, and then I went to go do the consultation for the colonoscopy. And I was really seriously, and this had been a couple weeks after I talked to my family doctor, and I'm like, you know, everything seems to be fine now. I think maybe I don't need this. And then he started telling me all the stories where people come in and they're like, yeah, we're fine. And then they find out that they're going to die. So then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just go through with this because you scared me now.
You don't get scared.
Why am I not scared?
So speaking of scaring people, I'd like to share this with you guys. So the listeners, it's no secret what I do for a living. I'm an EMT for the fire department, and so I worked in the ER for a lot of years. I've got a pretty good working knowledge of the human body and the acute issues that occur and how to treat them. So Tuesday, check that. Wednesday, I coming into the bedroom to play a little Call of Duty. My wife is leaving to go pick up our two youngest kids from school. And I hear, and I went, oh my God, she just fell down the stairs. Like I knew that was the sound of somebody's back hitting the ground. So I run out there and she's coming up the couple of porch stairs. And she has that terrified look on her face because she cannot breathe, completely knocked the wind out of herself. So I grab her, I go, okay, you got to get her, I get her breathing calmed down, and I start to check her out, and her back is all scraped, her arm is scraped, like she fell hard. So I call my sister-in-law, and I said, hey, your sister just fell down the stairs, she's okay, but can you run and get the kids from school so they don't get, yep, okay, so they handle that. So I get her in, and I look at her back and whatnot, and I touch it, and I push around, and nothing structurally feels like there's any damage, but she's in a lot of pain. So get her curled up on the couch, and she's laying there, and I'm sitting there with her just keeping an eye on her. Didn't hit her head. My mother-in-law calls. My mother-in-law's a nurse and was obviously very concerned that her daughter fell. And she starts, like, telling Amanda all of the things that I need to do to make sure she's okay. So then I start in with the, hey, will you write those down so I know what to do? Because obviously I'm being sarcastic because I understand and I know all of those things. So her response to that was, well, you know, so-and-so fell and hit their head and they had a brain bleed and died. And I go, why don't you shut the fuck right up? Like, why are we talking about that? So then grandma, my wife's grandma, is sitting in the vehicle with my mother-in-law, and I hear her, and she starts talking about how so-and-so's nephew fell down the stairs and they found him dead. Boop. Yep, his brain was bleeding. He died. And I'm going, can we all just shut the hell up? Can we all just shut the fuck up right now? Why are we talking about this? So I totally understand the way people put fear into other people. So I think your butthole's fine, Steven. That's the moral of that story. So, but I'm glad you're getting it looked at. I'm glad you're taking it seriously. I'm glad you're taking it in the butt. So that's good.
Yeah, so I'm scared. I'm scared to take it in the butt, and I'm scared to not take it in the butt. To be honest.
So do you think that it would? Do you think that your butthole would be more accepting if you got the doctor to like talk like Skeletor?
Actually, I like the doctor. He's a good calming fella. He's got a good sense of humor. He told me he was going to sedate me and then stick stuff up my butt, and I said that sounds like rape, and he laughed. So that tells me that he's a good guy, because he laughed, and he didn't look at me like I was disgusting. And so I'm comfortable with the doctor. He doesn't need to talk like Skeletor.
The doctor does find it weird that you call him uncle and not doctor, but yeah.
I don't like the fact. I'm not scared of the procedure as much as I'm scared of waking up from it. And then them saying, yeah, you better get your affairs in order, because we found some shit up there, and it ain't shit.
That's okay to find.
It's not shit. The problem is this shit isn't shit. But it's going to make shit hit the fan.
Hey, Steve, just so you're aware, as you come out of the anesthesia, they don't immediately run in and start delivering bad news. So even if it is terrible, they're going to let you get that all out of your system, and they're going to want to make sure that you fully understand that you're dying, so they need to have you clear-headed to tell you you're dying.
Thanks, Pete. Now I got to think about that when I come awake and that doesn't happen, I'm still not in the clear.
And they're not just, you're going to be ready to know, but they won't tell you.
What's great is, because the text can't say shit. Hey, what did you find? Oh, we have to have the doctor tell you that, because we're not allowed to tell you that it's good or that it's bad. So, and then the doctor is going to be like, he's going to get tied up on something silly. So you're going to sit there in your anxiety pool doing laps waiting for him. And it turns out like he just had diarrhea. That's why he was running late. It wasn't because there was anything like super important. So
he better not have diarrhea. This guy's a butt expert. He should know how to take care of himself so that doesn't happen.
Steven, please let me and Pete come film and commentate this, because I just want to have it on film when they get in there and the guy turns back to everybody else and goes, we're going to need a bigger scope.
I don't know. I don't like it.
We would commentate the shit out of that.
No, what we need to get, honestly, is we need to get AAA involved. Alberto Alberto, you know? So as soon as he slides it in, we hear him going, oh, it's so powerful! As he's ramping it up his butt. This colonoscopy is powerful!
Powerful. And then every time as they pull out a purplore. they go back in, and they're like, how did he get the skeleton in there with bat wings on?
Oh my god, is that a frost giant? What the fuck is that?
They're really going to say, how did he put this stuff in here with his arms being so short?
I can't wait until they, like, the doctor tells Steven he's going to die, and we zoom in on his face, and then AAA says, that information is powerful. It's gonna be so good. Steve, you're going to be fine, bud.
So anyways.
I mean, you're going to be sore and uncomfortable, but the worst part about a colonoscopy from everybody that I've talked to, again, being around healthcare, the worst part is the prep. It's having to drink that garbage to get everything out. It's just, it's uncomfortable and, you know what I mean? It's, you know, that's not the worst part.
Not true. The worst thing that, the worst part I've heard about is that, that afterwards you never go to the bathroom the same. Like literally just runs out of you.
I've heard the worst part is the guilt. Because after that, you know that God knows what you did. So.
God isn't the doctor, so God already knows what I've done. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about them blowing up my rectum. Because he did tell me that is, when you go in for like wisdom teeth out, they got to tell you there's a chance we could break your jaw. It rarely ever happens, but sometimes.
Yeah, for medical malpractice reasons, they have to give you the huge long list of all the shit that could go wrong.
Well, when you go into it for a colonoscopy, they tell you they blow your colon up full of air so they can keep it open so they can see it. And they say, hey, once in a while, we just blow one up. like your colon just blow. They just blow it up like a balloon. Bam! And I'm like, that?
I want them so badly to blow up your colon like then twist it into a wiener dog. Like, look at the eye, Dad.
So, now we've got caught up on me. Why do I always have butt stories? You know, I'm the toilet seat guy. I'm the almost shit in the American Girl store guy. I'm the I gotta have a colonoscopy guy. Early on, I told him, remember that there was a story when I was playing basketball with Travis at the school, and I stunk up the bathroom so bad that Travis almost barfed. I always got butt stories.
The janitor quit. The janitor literally walked in and walked out and said, fuck this, I'm done. He was going back to Cuba. He's like, he'd rather deal with Castro than your fucking stench.
I mean, Travis has got the market on the shit in your pants stories. But I've got a lot of butt stories, too.
I think it's just that our age. It's part of what happens. Just kind of the way it goes. But, you know, Steve, everybody's got a butt.
Yeah, they
everybody.
Do.
So, you know, these things you're going through, I think it's important that you share it with the listeners because, you know, that can make them feel better about, you know, sticking toys up their butt.
Oh, if I know our listeners, they're probably going to do their best to make me feel real good about this after they hear this too, because they're good people.
But in your corner, you've got old man Kyle. He's so old, he's got like a punch card. Like he gets one more colonoscopy and he gets like a free sub and coffee from the deli in the hospital. So,
you know, I was thinking about old man Kyle today when I was running up to Whitehall to drop a package off to Travis. And
motherfucker! So let's lay this out. So we record at 9 o'clock and you show up at 9:10, 9:15 every week. That's how it is. You have to drive to Whitehall and you're a few minutes late. So come to find out, you are like, hey, can we do 9:30 for Skype? So of course my question is, seriously, it takes you longer to get to your basement than it does to Whitehall? That's totally fine. We can do Skype. Only to find out that you've already been to Whitehall this morning, the one time you probably would have actually been there at 9 o'clock, we did it on Skype. Fuck you, man.
Yep. I can't see Travis, so I just dropped a package off his door. And I left. Just because I wanted him to have this for thanks UPS guy.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And I would have been there on time. I would have been there on time to get back to my basement, but I lost my wallet this morning. So I actually got up early enough to make it to Whitehall and make it back so I could record at 9, but then I lost my wallet and searched around my wallet for about a half hour before I got pissed and gave up, and then went in a car that doesn't have any gas, and because I couldn't get gas because I didn't have my wallet. Only on the way to Travis's house realized that I wore a jacket last night, and I probably, my wallet is probably in the coat pocket of my jacket, which Courtney put away in the closet, and it wasn't laying on the couch where I put it. So then when I got home, I got to go right to the closet, open up there, find my jacket, and find my wallet.
So the most interesting part of that story is your jacket has a coat pocket.
What are you talking about?
You have a jacket pocket, and your coat would have a coat pocket.
Jackets and coats are the same thing.
Your jacket's so cool, it's got a coat pocket.
I love that the best part of the story was he lost his wallet, but then he had to tell all of that bullshit.
And it's a nice wallet, too. I got it back in 89, and I've carried this. I've lost this wallet in more places.
Pete already told a long-ass boring story in this podcast. I don't even remember it. But I remember I almost fell asleep while he was telling the story. I tell a story that takes 30 seconds and I get ripped for it.
So my wife falls down the stairs and has potential trauma. You don't care about that, but you think something's wrong with your butthole and you're going to die.
Oh, not only your wife falling down the stairs, so-and-so told her this, so-and-so told her that, blah, blah, blah. I'm in the medical field. I know a thing or two about this. She said, blah.
That whole story was told to try and alleviate some of your anxiety about having to die after a colonoscopy. I did that as a friend. But you know what? Fine. I hope you get bad news. There it is. I said it.
Maybe they called...
I'm kidding. I don't actually hope that. You know that.
Maybe they called Travis already because he just ran out with the phone. Maybe that's my doctor because I wrote Travis down as my next of kin.
Hey, Trav, it's so bad, we don't want to tell him. Will you do it for us over Skype with Pete there? The blow with some fun, you know?
Not good.
They just texted him a picture because they could identify what it was. It was a Mezco Popeye arm they found in there.
They needed to call a toy expert to see what this shit is. Is this
we're not sure if this is a polyp or is this a spare He-Man hand? We're not sure.
Oh my god. That's funny. Well, I was gonna go into I was gonna see if Travis was gonna go into toy drama or something here, but he's gone.
Yeah.
So Pete, what's going on with you?
Nothing. I got D&D today, which you guys know I get super excited about. But yeah, no, it's been fun. So you have you guys recorded POTU lately? I haven't seen much on the Book of Faces about POTU.
Yeah, we did POTU. We're due this week to do another one, but yeah, we did one 2 weeks ago. It was a good time.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun with POTU. POTU's the best, man. POTU.
No, I agree. I see it.
It's not the best ever, but it's really... It's my chance to escape and be a kid again for a couple hours, and I love it.
That's awesome. So, so if you could... So in the realm of toy collecting and art and all of that, If you could pick one of those things to be your day job, somebody said, hey, you can make ends meet and you can have your nice, comfortable life just doing one of those aspects, what would you pick?
Designing toys.
So on the design side?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Have you been sculpting more? I know that you got that program.
No, I haven't really been I sculpted a little bit, but I've not put a whole lot of effort into learning. Because I've just been busy. I've been really busy painting and just working with the other guys at Wolf King on, you know, figuring out what we want to make. And, you know, I mean, Emil's so good, there's enough stuff for me to do on the side to help him out, and he just, you know, I don't know. I just don't have the time. It's more the painting, I guess, that's taking up most of my time. That's what it is.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
Steve, would you say that you're supplementing your income pretty good with it?
Well, Pete's got something behind him that Pete likes to have behind him right now on the screen. Well, am I supplementing my income? No. No, I would not say I'm supplementing my income. I'd say I'm making a little side money. Yeah, but there's going to be no early retirement for this guy at this point.
Well, and yeah, I know that that's not, obviously, it's more about the supplement and the toy money kind of thing. But, I mean, that's got to be a fun little part of it, too. I know that the payoff as an artist, I'm sure that's kind of how this started, was Pete, you know, asking what makes you feel better, really, or what you enjoy more.
If you could do anything in this world as your career, if you could pick one of the things that, and you'd make enough to make ends meet, what would it be? So.
You really said toy design?
Mm-hmm. He did.
Wow.
Why did that surprise you?
I just could think of things that I would put way, way over that.
Not deviant stuff, like actual jobs, where you actually, like, create something.
Well, that wasn't specified in the way it was described.
Well, and there's plenty of, well, I said in this arena, I specified that part of whether is it painting, is it sculpting, is it podcasting, is it, you know, doing shows, doing art. So, you know, in this realm is basically how I pitched it.
I can't believe you didn't say selling your art at shows. That's unbelievable.
Him and Bernie in the booth.
Selling art at shows is fun when you sell some. So I don't have a lot of fun.
You haven't found your audience yet, Steve. I think, dude, if you set up a table like in a pediatric oncology unit or something like that, I think that stuff would go like hotcakes.
I think if I set it up at, I don't know, maybe like a school for blind kids.
Maybe if you went to the home school building, not on a show weekend, and it was just when the homeschool kids are at the school that isn't their home.
Yeah, because they don't get to see.
Realistic.
They don't get to see.
With those kids. Those are homeschool kids that are going to a school building. Those parents aren't right.
Oh. And those kids.
I homeschool kids by sending them to a building that's for homeschool kids. No, that's a regular school, dum-dum. That's not homeschooling anymore. That's just called school. Fucking morons. Well, we do that because, you know, then they can get biology labs and they can have PE class. You know what else has that? Regular school. Just regular school has that. Sorry. I struggle sometimes, and it's a different world now, but my opinion hasn't changed much. Because prior to COVID, I've kind of always thought, if you really want to socially cripple your children, you homeschool them. But that's just me. So.
Here's a fun fact, though. Our kids are socially crippled anyways now because of...
Well, technology's doing it now.
Yeah. So. Anyways. Travis. You got any news or toy drama for us or what?
Oh.
I've actually got some. I'll just go ahead and go.
Why is Travis always surprised? Every time I ask him this, it happens every show. He's like, was that a thing that I started?
So this maybe isn't necessarily drama, and I just got the OP. I didn't actually go through the comments, but I'm going to try to show you guys this through the camera. I don't know how well you'll be able to see it. Can you see it or no?
It's very blurry. It looks like a person in a pool.
No, can't see it.
Steve.
Maybe hold it back a little bit.
It's a person in a hot tub?
Someone in a hot tub.
Yes.
I wish I was in a hot tub.
It's a woman in a hot tub. And it's obviously a classy person because it's indoors and it's an inflatable hot tub. And, I mean, nothing says trailer park class like an inflatable hot tub in a wood-paneled room. But it's a woman, and she has the is it the whale, the big G.I. Joe hovercraft?
Yeah.
Yes.
and she's holding the whale in a way. She's obviously naked, but she's holding the whale to cover the good bits. And it says, just to ruffle sensitive feathers. I'm 43. She's 24. Looks 15. I don't give a fuck what you think about that. What that tells me right out of the gate is dude's a pervert. And he went after her because she looked 15 and then pretty much admitted it. This is in G.I. Joe Uncensored, by the way. He says, one, you shouldn't be able to start some BS and then disable comments. Two, if some white knight wannabe contacted my family like that, I'd get in my car and drive straight to them across country, like in Punch Drunk Love, where he shows up to dude's place still holding the phone. So the first part was, I wanted to share this because I thought it was kind of interesting that he basically admits that he's got a thing for teenage girls. But did anybody see the drama that started him, or that made him make this post? Because obviously that was a hot one.
No.
Okay. Because apparently they must have gotten into it, and then somebody started talking about somebody else's family. But, and then apparently they were also able to, they started shit and then disabled the comments so people couldn't post, and that pissed him off. So he just thought he would flaunt his pedophilia as standing up against the administrators, which I thought was a mature way to handle things. So
that's some weird, weird shit.
Oh, yeah.
I think if anything, what we've figured out is the internet really has brought out the weirdos. And I'm starting to realize a lot of these people you get in these weird conversations with on Facebook, they really do have some form of mental problem.
I like how you didn't go Steven and just say the word because you wanted to.
I did want to.
You did want to. But that's the thing. All we've done is we've given everybody equal access to be able to say and do and be whoever they want to be. And that's an issue. And what I really like too is that some people have so much to say that they can't just do it underneath their own name. They have to create multiple other accounts in order to get out all of their hilarity, because we just wouldn't believe all of that hilariousness would come from just one account. So.
Oh, is that a thing, Pete?
Apparently it is. So, hey, what are you doing today? Well, I'm going to head to the movies. Hey, what are you doing today? I'm going to take the kids sledding. Hey, what are you going to do? I'm going to create another Facebook account and talk to the same people I talk to with my regular Facebook account. Because, you know, it's what I'm doing today. So, nice little Saturday. I like that.
I like that you literally fell for it and thought that Travis Boyles was me.
Well, because I saw that it was a picture. I'm like, okay, he would share that picture.
Yeah.
And I was, like I said, I was all amped up to be like, oh, look, if he can actually speak eloquently. Nope, it's Travis Boyles. I did that.
I got to say, I do think the name Travis Boyles is funny as hell.
So I got a little drama.
Oh.
Have you guys been in Michigan Toy Traders lately?
Man, I really haven't.
I got in there a week or so ago to tell a guy he was being a prick, because he was being a prick. But other than that, I don't see it that much. Something to do with Facebook's algorithms. Like, the stuff just doesn't pop, and I'm assuming it's because I don't visit it enough. It doesn't think that I want to know what's going on in there. So,
but Pete, isn't that crazy? Because you're literally an admin.
I am, and I might be getting the alerts, and I'm just not seeing them. But I don't think that I am.
Pete, I'm not getting them either. Right. It literally, Facebook knows we don't go there.
Because you know what happened? What? Fucking Emperor Talmadge became admin in there, and he probably turned off our notifications. Well, I'm going to get to these guys' good graces and be able to be on more 2.0 episodes if I handle the business on Michigan Toy Traders.
Emperor, so. Emperor Talmadge?
I was going to say Darth Talmadge, but I was like, I think Emperor sounds better.
Listen, I'm going to rule this place with an iron fist!
It's a little tiny fist, but it's made of iron.
I was going to bring this up earlier, and I got sidetracked somehow. Can't think of how that might have happened, but I was thinking about Old Man Kyle and Ben, and you know, remember when Old Man Kyle, the duo was Old Man Kyle and Boonstra, but now it seems to be Old Man Kyle and Ben.
Oh yeah.
And do you think that they've got like I think Ben might be his grandson.
Dude, I picture them getting together. And Ben, like, getting up on Kyle's lap with a transformer to show him, and, like, Kyle gives him a Werther's original, and they talk about a G1 transformer. You know, Benny, back in my day, Grandpa Kyle didn't have access to these kinds of transformers. But I had a little red wagon, and I went and I did a lemonade stand with it to make money to be able to buy Muscle Man or some shit.
Kyle was in high school when Muscle Men came out.
Oh, shoot. So, Michigan Toy Traders, the only way now I ever know anything's going on in it is because our friends tell us. And Charlie Carden. Posted.
Steve, you're muted.
Posted a Michigan Toy Traders cruising, and it's a picture of some G.I. Joe figures, 25th anniversary. Andrew Slagle comments and says, "What kind of stands are they, please?" Charlie says, "As you can see, their names are on them. It's the stand that comes with the figure." Andrew says, "Okay, asshole."
How is that an asshole response?
Oh, wait. Holy crap, hold on. Pete, you're siding with the OP on this one? That is a legitimate response.
He asked what kind of stands they were, and he pointed out that you could see them in the picture with the name on them. I mean, that's acceptable. I'm going to look it up and read it, but yeah, I would say that's acceptable.
What he means by that, Pete, is you could see the characters' names are on the stands, that they are the stands that actually come in the package with the G.I. Joe figures. Not that the name of the brand is on the stand.
But no, isn't that what the guy asking the question is asking the OP? What kind of stands are they? And he points out you can see what kind of stands they are in the package.
I'm recording.
Not in the package, because they're on... They're actually loose. They're standing on his counter.
Tell you anything?
Okay, so he is asking what stands Charlie is using.
Yes.
And okay.
So, and Charlie is saying they're the stands that come with them, dumbass.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right.
So Andrew says, "Okay, asshole." Charlie says, "Reading is fundamental." And Charlie says, "Okay, dickhead."
So I think Charlie's being a little harsh.
Yeah, that comes off as very harsh to me. Pete's got a little harsh, which is understandable. Did you find it, Peter?
No.
Yeah, it's going to take you forever, probably. Charlie wasn't done.
Oh, wow. Charlie's really going after this one, huh?
Charlie then posted a Michigan Toy Traders. "Hey, kids. It's time for a rant. Long-time reader, first-time ranter. I was able to pop into a store in KZU because I had to run an errand down there. Derek Trevelyan was my guy on the trigger telling me there were 6 figures of this kind at the store. Nothing on the pegs. I asked the toy department guy, snotty fucking kid, G.I. Joe? I'll tell you what I tell everyone. We have them. We are doing a reset on Monday. We will be putting them out then. The hairs rise on the back of my neck.
Aw, shit.
So you have them? Dickhead kid. Oh, yeah, but those pallets are blocked off and we can't get to them. Me, fuming, not wanting to snap. Yeah, okay, fine. I leave. Derek tells me 2 of the 6 at the store got sold. So this cockstained kid just lied to my face. Just for your edification, this was the Target on West Main and Kalamazoo. Fuck them. I might write Target a nasty gram. Rant done.
Or what you could do is get a life as opposed to doing that.
Yep. Yeah. That's probably the easiest thing.
Okay, you're just being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, you're that upset about there not being figures on the shelf? Like, that's just ridiculous. Sorry, Charlie.
Eric Brins jumps in. You got to remember, they don't care about toys. They're just toys. And you got to remember, it's some kid that don't care about his stupid job at Target. So he really don't give a fuck about a 40-year-old who wants a toy.
That's pretty good way of summing it up, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets a little brutal. Noah Graham, get over yourself. Dan Letart, you got what you fucking deserved.
Ooh.
Yeah. Got a little brutal, huh?
No comebacks from Charlie?
Not really. Charlie kind of didn't try to get in on this, really, for the most part.
He went back and forth pretty good with Brink after the first comment, but after that, he doesn't seem to say much. And then Joe Crazy Bill jumps in and tags you in your group because we didn't see it.
I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did.
So wait, this is...
Charlie at one point says, yeah, guys, have a slug out amongst yourselves. I did none of those things. I took his response and walked away like an adult. And then got on Facebook, made this post, and said you were going to send a nasty gram to Target like an adult. You're right. Those are all very adult things to do.
So adult.
Charlie needs to be like me and just give up. Like, I've given up. Looking for G.I. Joes at Target or anywhere, really. Life is a lot easier that way.
And you know what? They're going to get re-released. I mean, well, they just
the final comment that Mike Heiss makes is, imagine being this mad about a toy that's going to get repacked and repainted repeatedly. Carry on.
In that same vein. Right. Anthony Hernandez posted in the Mezco.
Hold on, real quick. So that's one thing that I'm going to struggle with, because that's our group that we run, and if you are on a group that's run by Charlie Carden, it's like somebody has an opinion about a movie, and it was something as simple as, "Hey, Wonder Woman 84 wasn't great," and my probably won't rewatch it. And he immediately jumped in and said, whoa, there's room for everybody's opinions here, so let's not do. And I'm like, what? But then you're going to jump onto my page and call a teenage kid a cock stain from Target because you didn't have G.I. Joes on the shelf? Here's the deal. That's going to lead me to do 2 things. 1, leave your bullshit group. And 2, kick you out of mine. Because that's some hypocritical bullshit there. Because if I ever put the word cock stain on his page, he'd lose his shit. So that's what's not going to – that to me is what I would consider – that's real drama of, we're not going to play your game. You don't get to be the prince in your group that everything's all fine and we're all nice to each other, but then come to mine and be a fucking cock like that. So – and I don't know if Charlie listens to this or not, but I kind of hope he does, because that's bullshit. Any way you slice it, that's bullshit.
Yeah, and don't let anybody that's listening to us get this confused. This isn't a My Wife Is Going to Kill Me thing. This is a different – And my wife's going to kill me. Cockstein is oh, it's fine. Well, we would love the, you know, say Cockstein all you want. Cockstein. Right.
And even on Michigan Toy Traders, we don't police that heavy. You know, that's, it's one of those things where there's been a couple of people that have been banned from that group for taking things too far. And, but you know what? We didn't delete any of that, that we let it go. People had their opinions, but, but you don't get to run a group and then take out and then act the way that you let your true self out in somebody else's private group when you won't even let people say they didn't think a movie was great in your group. So
Pete, getting ready to swing that hammer.
I don't walk around like a hammer. Fuck you, Chris Hemsworth. But I will swing it nonetheless. Like I said, that to me, that's hypocritical shit there. I mean, that's bull any way you look at it.
Well, here you go. This is a fun group that I would recommend you guys look into. I got to say, it was one of the East Coast boys that turned me on to it, probably Anthony. Anthony Hernandez posted in the Mezco 112 Collective Collectors. These two figures this past week have affected so many people in such a negative way. Okay, this is about 2 weeks old. And he is talking about the Viper, pretty much what Charlie was talking about, and White Skull Face. I can't remember what he was called, but the Mezco figure.
Oh.
They apparently only made 150 of.
Yeah. 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 Pretty cool.
Really cool. But, like, so kind of rare. Like, how I found out about it was Corboy posting on his personal page, yeah, I missed it. If anybody's got it, let me know. You know, so there's somebody that we know that's hardcore into this line, and they missed it.
I know. Well, I was.
And then he tries to use his toy prowess to get somebody to sell him one so they can be like, I sold one to Corboy, taking advantage of his eliteness.
Whatever you got to do. Whatever you got to do.
Honestly, I think Cornboy's the last guy that does that stuff.
No, I know.
He's not like
Cornboy. I'd be getting me a Whitehead Mezco too.
He's not like Pete out there flashing titties and shit to all these dice people. So
I got some great dice.
These two figures have affected so many people in such a negative way. Who's been worse, Mezco or Joe Collectors? It doesn't matter. Both have brought out the worst in people, the scalping, the negativity, the bitching, all of it. I remember when these groups first started. Yeah, I've been around that long. We were trying so hard to get away from the madness. I remember we all said, eBay is the devil. We're here to help each other, not take advantage of each other. But like many in this pandemic, people panic and only think of themselves. It's honestly disgusting. A genuine question of mine, why do we all do this to each other? Why do we step on each other and put each other down because of pieces of plastic? Times like this make me miss when we started out to be and make me feel distant from the community. This is not how it was supposed to be. This is what drives so many away. Be excellent to each other.
Whoa. Whoa. Be excellent to each other. When there's 150 pieces, you can't look out for anybody else. How can you look out for anybody else? I mean, really? There's 150 pieces. That's not enough. I mean, they used to call most Masters Universe Classics a small line. Because they used to sell out in minutes when their characters would come up. Like the popular ones, like Ram Man comes to mind. Well, there was like, we don't know the numbers, but I think most people think that on the low end, it was probably 5,000 pieces of Ram Man. We're talking about 150. This is ridiculous. You know, I don't think that applies. I don't think it's like, oh, if we didn't have the scalper community, it'd be like, yeah, we could get all 2,000 people that want this figure to figure. No, we can't. There's only 150 of them. It doesn't matter. That's stupid. It's the company. It's the way the company is choosing to do that stuff, and I don't know why. But because how does it benefit them? When
it benefits them because they have zero. They have zero overhead sitting on the shelf. They don't have to clearance anything, and it gets people to post shit on Facebook about Mezco, and it gets podcasts to talk about Mezco. and question why they're doing it. And they know they're going to sell all 150 of them. And I mean, they're creating a demand for their own product. It's business genius, as far as I'm concerned. There's no such thing as bad press. We've said that 100 times. People can be mad all they want, but guess what? The next time they release a figure like that, everybody's going to assume that there's only 150 of them, and it's going to be an absolute piranha cage fight to get their hands on those figures. But guess what? They're going to make 500 of them next time, and every one of them is going to sell because all those people wanted to get their hands on 150. So I think they're just hedging their bets, and I think, again, I think it's a genius.
Maybe someday, but so far that this has been, they've been doing these small numbers for a long time now, and they haven't upped it yet, is from what I can tell. It almost seems like it's going the other direction.
But have they in the past ever released? Wasn't this one of the first times that they actually released a quantity number? Because it's all been speculation before this, right?
I don't know that for sure, and I don't know. We don't know enough about Mezco to say that for sure. I gotta agree. I'm gonna agree a little bit more with Pete that that's what's going on here. But what do you guys think about this guy's rant though, from the standpoint of what collectors are doing to each other?
You're just yelling into the void. It's no different than all of the posts last November when everybody was posting up, hey, you know what? You can be a Republican or a Democrat, but we have all got to get along and kumbaya, hold my hand. And I mean, it's, and people don't care. People are going to do what they want to do. And it's all self-service. And this is all above and beyond. None of this is daily needs. None of this is anything other than this is what we want to do and how we this is all extra on top of normal lives. Nobody cares, man. I mean, you can have the most eloquent post and it can make sense and you're going to get a ton of likes and you're going to get people going, preach it, brother. And they're going to be, you know, totally on board with what you're saying. But then that same person is going to be two groups away bitching because they went to freaking Target and some cock-stained kid didn't have their figures on the shelf. And that, I mean, that's all that it's ever going to be. So, like I said, it's just you can keep yelling into the void, but your echo's not coming back. It is what it is.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit on you guys. There was a post in a group. I wish I could recall which one it was, but it's going to be one of the G.I. Joe groups. And it was a quick little video of Bobby Valla on a podcast that he's on now. And they were going through their favorite figures of 2020, and every time someone would hold up a G.I. Joe classified figure, you know, Valla would be like, oh, and then kind of go on a little bit of a rant about the negatives of that figure. Did either of you guys see that?
I did not see the video. I did see something somebody had created, maybe, where it was a picture of Firefly. And then yeah, had Valla all of Bobby Valla's critiques drawn on it.
Yep.
Yeah. And he even said, like, he called the designer names. I freaking actually think it. I mean, I got to say, I kind of like it. Like, I do.
Oh, yeah, you. Heel Steve would just love it.
that's classic. That is a tried and true method that everybody at some point in their life has employed. The whole idea of dimming somebody else's bulb because you're unable to make yours bright on your own, that's all that is. And in the grand scheme of things, I think it's a poor business practice. And if he truly ever wants his figures to take off and be taken seriously, you going out publicly and bashing other companies and saying what they did wrong isn't the way to do it. But to each his own. I wish him all the success in the world, but I'm also a buyer that is going to remember that. So, and I don't know if that makes a difference to him or not. It probably doesn't, but I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Yeah, that is one of the knocks going on right now, because I'm going to side with Steve on this, that I kind of like how real Bobby is about this stuff.
Well, he's so damn right. His critiques, in my opinion, are so damn right. Is it a poor business practice? Maybe. You know, is it putting yourself out there that you could be kind of a jerk? Probably. But everything he says, I agree with.
the big difference is they're creating figures that he is able to complain and bitch about, and he wasn't able to get his first Kickstarter passed. So a lot of it to me comes out as whiny and bitchy and arrogant. And so again, they're creating a figure that their success is giving you the opportunity to knock them in the first place. And to me, it comes across a hell of a lot more jealous than it does right.
Well, and, I mean, obviously he has the history with the company. I mean, he was let go by Hasbro during the downsizing, and I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. Which of course maybe it didn't, and now I just sound like a dumbass. But yeah, please. But the other side about that is, P is right. There is a lot of people out in the G.I. Joe community who feel exactly the same way Pete does. They feel like throwing shade like this is just such a negative thing to do. Now, there's a lot of people that are going to say, like Steve and I, well, like Steve said and I agree with, that, dude, he's right. Every single thing he says about these G.I. Joe figures, he's right. So it is this real hard thing, and I'm pretty sure we could all probably imagine Vala would just say, hey, I don't care. That's right. The kind of dude he is.
And that's totally fine. If he's okay with being right and unsuccessful, by all means, buddy, go for it. But I have a hard time feeling like somebody truly wants to be successful in this world if they're going to act like that.
I know, but you do know, Petey, that the Kickstarter did fund, right? That they, I mean, Battle Force is happening.
Right, the second time.
Right, right. So, I mean, I would say it's unsuccessful.
In the first time, it was unsuccessful. He did the classy thing and blamed Kickstarter and went on that big rant because there's no possible way, and I'm sure that he doesn't work for Hasbro anymore. Because of, I mean, it sure had nothing to do with Bobby Vala. I mean, he's obviously shown himself to be a class act. You start to add all of that up and I go, and people are going to listen to this and maybe Bobby Vala listens to this and maybe Charlie Carden listens to this and they go, wow, Pete really is a prick. I don't have any skin in the game. The reason you guys can agree with Bobby Vala, that's fine. You don't have any skin in the game. What do you lose? You know, if Bobby Vala goes out there and goes on a tirade about how piss poor these figures are, and then he never makes another, doesn't ever make another dollar in this industry that he supposedly loves so much, that's no skin off your guys' ass. You're not losing out on anything. But he is. But again, he's the one that's got everything to lose, and if he wants to do it, again, more power to him. So
here's a thought. And so Bobby Vala has a personality that I don't have. Like, I couldn't be doing what he's doing. I wouldn't do what he's doing. I don't have the balls. All right? It's just, Heel Steve might have the balls, but that's just not going to happen with me. But I do have to say, as someone, I do feel that he loved and still loves G.I. Joe. I think he is passionate about G.I. Joe, and I do think, based on what I've seen from what he has done and designed with Valaverse and Action Force, that he is a very good designer. And I think that because he has such a passion for G.I. Joe and is a good designer, and we know he worked on G.I. Joe during one of the coolest times of G.I. Joe figures, right, Travis?
Yes.
Yeah, does he have a little bit of an ego? Yeah. Does he seem to be able to back it up? Yeah. It might bite him in the ass, or it might make him as many fans as he loses. I don't know. All I can say is, not only did he come back and get his Kickstarter funded, he's also added a bunch of parts since that to the lineup. We didn't have Sergeant Slaughter when the Kickstarter went on, you know what I mean? He's making some pretty good decisions, and I think, you know, is the personality brash? Yup. Does it turn some people off? Yup. But I've always been kind of the guy that roots for the bad guy. And he's got a little bit of the bad guy in him, even though he's right. And I like that.
Pete, can I ask you this? And this is going to go right on to what Steve said. Do you think with the today's age of where social media has taken us and where the people that now age-wise, what they grew up watching, do you feel like there is a place for this heel, like, toy guy? Like, do you feel like there legitimately is this place? Like, you know, we talk about MJF, you know, that wrestler. I've never seen him wrestle. I literally have never seen him wrestle. But I follow the shit out of his Facebook persona because he makes me laugh almost every single day because he's a dick. With that said, Pete, you're talking about how Vala might listen to this or Cardin might listen to us. Dude, the people that listen to this podcast like you because you're a dick. You know, I mean, it's just kind of the reality of it is that there is this little bit of that can help you get over in today's age.
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, and as far as me here, I'm to, and to Steve's point, Vala's being a dick and he's right. He says this about this armor and he's right. Well, guess what? I'm being a dick about Charlie Cardin. I'm right. He's being a hypocrite. I'm being a dick about Vala. I'm right. He's not conventional business practices. People could argue all day long that from a business standpoint, Trump was a great president. But they would also tell you that Trump's a big piece of shit as a person. You know, it doesn't, your personality doesn't necessarily make or break you in the business. I also feel like you need to be of a certain level before you can do that. But there's plenty of heels in the wrestling world that came out strong in the beginning and people were like, yeah, nope, bye. You know, you have to have a certain amount of fans and a certain amount of people that hate you in order for that to be successful. I don't feel like Val is there. You took a property that ran that the it's I mean, look at the originality of it. It's a G.I. Joe ripoff, guys. And not only that, you took a patent, somebody else's patent that was expired, and you're using that brand, which I think is great. I'd love to be able to be in on one of these already successful properties because you want to pay homage and you want to do things that you love. I would love to be able to create something that piggybacks on what the Horseman is doing. I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but you come out of the gate doing this. I don't think you've earned the right to do it yet. And I'll use the example of the comedy world. Guess what? A brand new open mic comic, if you go up on stage and you're not prepared to tell jokes and you're just up there to do crowd work, you are not going to make it in that business. You have to be a certain level of comedian before you start calling people out in the crowd and being that dick that can do that. That's not a new guy thing. And I understand he's got a history in the business, but Action Force and what he's doing is still a very new thing. I think it's too early for him to be a heel and see true success. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I don't want to see anybody fail in this business except for Adam Bradley Freeman because he's a piece of shit. But there's definitely a place for it. And what Facebook and social media have done is they've given the heel a real audience. They've given that opportunity to, and you know what? Before, you might not, in a crowd of people, you might not have cheered for the bad guy, the bad villain in wrestling when you're in the crowd. But now you can get on his Facebook and like that stuff because nobody's looking at you over your shoulder. You don't have to do that in front of anybody. You can almost essentially do it, not anonymously, but you can do it privately. So heels have a lot more fans now than it's just a click than it is somebody that actually needs to go out and physically support them. But
just so you know, I always wanted Hulkamania to die.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, when you watch, if you watch the documentary about Andre the Giant, like, you get done watching that and you love Hulk Hogan. Like, the way that he did things and how that whole transition of the championship was set up, Hulk Hogan loves wrestling and had such a passion for it, and hearing him talk about Andre the Giant, all that, it was moving. Hulk Hogan was moving in that documentary. And because you got to see the other side of, it's not just the guy that old brother and rips his shirt and whatnot. And it was like, man, I really like this guy. Like, I like him as a person and as a performer and as a wrestler. Like, I respected the hell out of him after that documentary, you know? So I
watch some more documentaries. You might think he's a piece of shit.
Well, I mean, that very well could be. And good for this documentarian for pointing or for you know, putting him in such a nice light. But
it's not even that, Pete. It's fucking Terry Crews, dude. He is a smart. Now, is it Terry Crews? Isn't that his name, Steve?
Who?
What's Hogan's name?
Terry Bollea or something.
Terry Bollea. Oh,
you realize Terry Crews is the black guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine that makes his titties dance, right?
Yeah, they remind me of each other. I think Hulk Hogan is just a really smart dude, and he was very good at making people believe, just like you did in that documentary, Pete, that he really cared.
He is amazing. He's amazing at working a crowd. I just happened to watch him, and I know we're getting off topic here, but I just watched him and the Warrior back in the day, their wrestling match, you know? And just the way he works that crowd, they're not doing anything for the first, seems like 3 hours of that match, and the match is only 20 minutes. But doing, like, grabbing each other's hands and putting, you know, doing playing mercy and putting one down on the knee. But what's freaking Hulk doing every time he's down on his knee? He's looking at the crowd. Look back at the crowd, like, oh my gosh! And the crowd goes nuts every time he does it. That psychology that he is one of the people that figured out how to do it the best, and I don't know if anybody figured it out as well as him before him. That is where he shines. His athleticism, his size, he was a big guy for sure, and all that stuff, but just that, I mean, he's a big bald guy with the Fu Manchu, right? I'm waiting for Pete to correct my facial hair names, but
I honestly don't think this is called a Fu Manchu that I have. It's similar to what he has, but everybody calls it a Fu Manchu, so I just roll with it. I honestly don't know. So, the only reason I say that is because there are capes at the salon where my wife works that have all the different types of mustaches printed on them with the name. And the Fu Manchu is actually the really thin and narrow, like, Asian, you know what I mean, little one. So this is actually called a handlebar mustache, according to the cape at the salon. But I don't know.
But anyways, you know.
You can't be an expert in everything, Steve. You got to bring something to the table.
He was – Terry was great at the psychology of the crowd, and I think he really, 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 really loves not so much wrestling but money. Is my opinion.
I think money and that feeling of being able to control the crowd.
Oh yeah, I think that's a drug for anybody. You know, you hear these old wrestlers talk over and over and over about that feeling of getting the crowd on their side, and it's a drug. It's hard to go without that drug when it's time to quit.
I just want to wrap up this real quick in reference to the Bobby Vallet video. John Ott replies on this and says, where can I ask to get back the 4 minutes I just wasted on this video? So this isn't a cut and edit video of a podcast by the look of it, with some extra low-cost special effects. I will tell you, I thought this video was freaking awesome, and I thought when I watched it, I was like, I wish our podcast was like this. And this dude is calling it garbage.
Well, hopefully he doesn't listen to us.
So then he goes, the points here making are valuable arguments, but the answers were edited out. It's just a waste of time. Adam Bradley Freeman comments, yeah, I didn't want to get into that. People sort of egg on the whole rivalry between Bobby Vallet tagged and Hasbro. Bobby Vallet then responds, Adam Bradley Freeman, dude, stop tagging me in comments where I'm already a member of the group.
That does speak a little bit to the, I don't know.
Eric Bertram posted in the Wife is Going to Kill Me support group. They did it again, and it's the picture of the Green She-Hulk. And I think we might have talked about this a little bit. Pete, did we talk about this with you?
The lack of breasts?
Yes. Yes.
Did we talk about it on the last episode? I'm pretty sure we did because Kyle was there.
Yeah, seems like it.
Yeah, that, we probably did.
You're Kyle was fence riding. He was fence riding like a son of a gun.
I look at that figure, and it is absolutely just a beautiful figure. But wow, man, they just screwed the pooch on it. Blows my mind.
Do you have anything we didn't already talk about, Trev?
All right, I'm looking for the next bit here, because I do have something. I got a couple somethings. A lot of people...
In the toy news? Or was that my cue to say thanks, UPS guy?
No, no, not yet. Not yet. Almost, though. I'm getting there.
That's my cue to pee.
I would say it's a good time to pee. I'm going to hope that Steve will edit out this whole portion when he's doing editing. Or I'm sitting here trying to find...
No, I'm not going to... I want people to see what we really are. We're not all glammed up. We're not all, like, makeup and high heels and push-up bras and strapping our freaking fat down like chicks are. We are what we are. You can see us for what we are. Disorganized pieces of shit that try to do a podcast weekly. Did that give you enough time, Trev?
It did, but I'm not going to agree with that. I'm not going to agree that I'm a piece of shit. So we had some people request to join the support group. Should we do this? We shouldn't do this. We can't write it on the board.
We can't write it on the wall.
Yeah, geez, they're just going to have to build up.
No, we know how to do that. I'll just write them down on a napkin.
F you, Steven. F you. Nope. And that wraps up Toy Drama, Toy News, and who wants to join the My Wife's Gonna Kill Me support group?
All right, Pete, now it's your time, if you choose to take it. Because if you tell him to do it, he gets rebellious and then won't do it.
I do have one other little quick thing.
Oh, I didn't know. Sorry.
We posted a little contest on our Patreon page. This was actually in the actual Patreon page, and it was a pretty real simple one. All it was is I had shared a picture of Steven wearing his duck-billed mask because he is following the COVID rules and was wearing his duck-billed mask. If anyone can't really understand what I'm trying to describe, literally the mask looks like a duck face. Okay?
It's a standard N95 particulate mask.
So I said, caption this photo, best one gets a gift. There were 7 captions. We are going to pick the best one right here between the 3 of us. And are you 2 ready?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Matthew Douche says, your lordship, that is not how you wear a mask, sir. Quiet, fool. Guards, off with his head. I'll teach these peasants not to talk to me. Now bring me my paints and my pubic hair.
Pubic hair.
Does he... Nate Strong says, hey, how do you like my imitation of an overweight platypus?
That's
Thomas
cool.
Reinberg from Oss says, what do you mean I look like Howard the Duck that just finished 3 buffets? Fuck the right off, puny human.
Oh, man. Why has everybody got to go with the fat jokes?
That's your fat. The same reason we go with the balding jokes, because you're balding. So.
Oh, come on.
And you're going to die of colon cancer.
Jesus Christ.
The biggest difference between me and Pete is my parents are going to lose their kids instead of me losing them.
Jesus.
You can say whatever you want, but I can find them very easily. They're in a plastic bag on my mantle. So.
Kerwin, Duckface 2021. Jeff Yerger. Hey, guys, you know how your breath smells like shit when you have your mask on? Well, it's because your breath smells like shit. I can confirm it. John Caulfield. You're despicable. And Ryan Gonzalez, honey, I don't know how all those dicks got on my phone. I swear.
To me, it comes down to Nate Strong and Tomas Reinberg.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I think those ones were the most chuckly.
So Nate's was, hey, how do you like my imitation of an overweight platypus?
That's funny.
It's pretty good. And Tomas's was, how do you mean I look like Howard the Duck with three buffets? Fuck off, puny humans. How funny is that both the ones that we thought were the funniest refer to Steve as fat?
Right. Well, but then, so I like Nate's because it's short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah.
But Tomas kind of throws in the whole not only fat but Hulk-sized with the puny human part. So his has a little more depth. Steven ultimately should make the decision because it was about him.
Yes, it was definitely a beautiful picture of Steven. Steven, you are the one that gets to choose the winner in this case.
I honestly thought the overweight platypus was the funniest.
Thank God. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we want to avoid international shipping, Tomas. I knew that's what you were thinking.
I was so happy.
He was nervous. He's like he couldn't sit still in his chair.
I'm so happy.
I wanted to go with Tomas because didn't Nate Strong win something recently?
I know you're not talking to me, okay? Because I can't remember a goddamn thing. Okay. So, Nate's the big winner. Nate, your gift will be coming, buddy. I will reach out to you and contact you. Once again, thank you to our patrons. Real quick, I want to drop another Patreon contest. I am just going to put together. I'm going to do a Patreon contest where it's going to have two drawings. And in one of the drawings is going to be our $1 and $5 members are going to get their name drawn, and they're going to win a dial from Heidi. Our $10 winner's name is going to go on the wheel, and whoever wins actually gets to consult with Heidi to have the certain kind of dial they want made.
Oh, that's playful.
You like that one, Pete?
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's going to be great.
I thought that would be a fun one, and I thought it would be a good little incentive for our $10 people, too. So I will set that up soon, and I will let people know, obviously, if people decide they want to get in on that. I want to give them a little bit of a time. It'll probably start sometime midweek to late this week. But
Can I piggyback off you for a second, Trav?
Yep, sounds good.
We're doing over on Legion's Cast, we're doing a little opportunity, a little giveaway. What that is if you back the Forge Horseman, the game of the war, Warblade of Aerithir or whatever the hell it's called, you back the new Mythic Legions video game, and you PM, so private message proof to the Legion's Cast page that you backed it, we are going to be doing a special episode that is going to have one of the four horsemen or more on the episode with us, and then also a special guest host. And what you're competing for is the opportunity to be that guest host. Now, I will tell you, we want as many people to be involved as we possibly can, but I will also tell you that I've ignored every single one after Jennifer Sykes. So you don't really have much of a chance, boys. But give it a go anyways. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, another opportunity to jump on and, kind of like I said, be a guest host on the show with us and get to rub elbows again with one of the horsemen. So
we also have the Mythic Lib contest going on as well. If you're a listener of Legion's Cast, you're going to be well aware of that. But pretty fun little way that you really get an opportunity to have a huge part in that new game.
Are you going to pledge enough to get your face in the game, Trav?
No, I there's no way I'm going to be $1,000 kind of thing. I'm one of those people that while that piece is really cool, it really doesn't do much for me. Like, I don't
I know.
But to be honest, where are you supposed to go from Defenders of Eden? Your face was in all 12 of those comics that were sold by Matthew Rodriguez. It's kind of hard to top that, you know?
You know, actually, my face never appeared. And I don't know if it ever will.
But didn't you pay that level?
Yeah, I did back it at that level, yes.
Okay.
But I think you might have plans of putting me in issue 7, and I think if I remember right, it's a limited run of 1 through 6, but...
Same thing with, you know, it's kind of like me when I bought my van from him. I pledged at a level that came with floor mats, but he didn't have any at the time, and he said he'd get them to me, and he never did, so, you know, that's how that works.
You know, those car salesmen, they really know how to work you.
He sure made me feel good that day, though. I felt like I got a good deal.
Speaking of that game, you know, I know, are any of us interested, are any, either of you guys interested in the actual gameplay of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think yes. It's going to be fun.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, I play one game and that's it, but this will be a game that when it comes out, yeah, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to be playing.
You know, I really just wish that the Horsemen would have, you know, recruited some people from the Cabal, and the best way to do this game and to do the whole crowdfunding piece, because man, there are so many experts in the Cabal that they just really know how this should have been done. And I just wish they would have consulted more, you know, more people to do this right. So,
what do you think, Steven?
Oh yeah, I think that definitely the Cabal is where to go to find people, and not just the Cabal, all of the internet. I think, you know, really everything should be run by people who comment on the internet, because they typically are the best qualified people to do something like this. Because like, you know, I mean, Pete, what do you think their qualifications are? They've probably, you know, probably pretty good.
I mean, how could they not be? There's no way that they have that in-depth of an opinion without being an expert of some type. I mean, because regular novice people don't just spout off about things that they don't know or understand. So it's got to be legit.
That's what I think, too.
I got a little piece here that I would like to hit with you guys as well. It's been a while since we've done it, but I would love to do the segment where we review the reviews.
I don't remember ever doing that, but okay.
We have. First and foremost, I wanted to review a review of Plastic Crack, and then I'm going to jump over to reading a review of the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast. All right.
Okay.
First, are we ready for this?
Well, I told you guys before we started that I do not have a rant, but we'll see now.
Here is a review of Plastic Crack, the documentary, put together by our good friend Guillermo. This review is by John Braun, Braun. Not what I was expecting. He gave it 2 out of 5 stars. I have tried writing this multiple times. Every review seems overly critical, and I do not mean for it to come off that way. I'm sure the team put in a lot of time and effort to bring this to the public. I felt the editing left a lot to be desired, and the storyline is undefined. Also, at some points, it becomes very preachy. Overall, this left a lot to be desired. The only reason I am leaving this review is due to the lack of critical reviews that led me to have very high expectations going into the series. Peter.
Yes.
Thoughts?
I think John Braun is a very manly name. And I appreciate he was honest. He was decent. And I think that's how constructive criticism should be left. So as a as a poor review. I think he did a nice job with it. I will say that he kind of brought down, I think he was looking at it more from a technical aspect than he was from a entertainment aspect. The idea that things aren't clearly defined, I don't necessarily agree with. I think it's pretty apparent that this is a show about toy collectors and they talk to toy collectors. I don't know how much more depth and definition you need for that. As far as the editing goes, I thought it was done very well. I thought it was done professionally. If this guy showed me a documentary that was up to par in by his standards and I compared the two, maybe I could find some criticism as well, but that's not my world. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I didn't know Guillermo and we hadn't been a part of it. I mean, I probably would have watched it, but I would not have been nearly as excited to watch it. But yeah, I mean, you can have a differing opinion of me, or I'm sorry, not an opinion of me, a different opinion than I have. But as long as you do it respectfully like that, I go for it, man. And Guillermo's the kind of guy that's going to look at that. And unfortunately, when you talk about editing stuff, that's a little bit more personal to him because that's his life. I mean, that's what he does, you know, literally does for a living. I thought it was done very well. But then again, I've seen some of Steve's paint jobs that I thought were awesome, but then I saw somebody else's when I went, oh shit, you know?
Steve, what do you think?
I think that he was correct when he said that it needed more me. Like when he said that it needs more Steve Bisciotti and my wife is going to kill me, I would agree with him there. I think we probably are the best part of it, and I think actually the whole documentary probably should have been about me/us. So, you know, I'm right with him there, but the rest of it's just an opinion, and I don't know. I don't know. God, I don't know how to critique editing, because it's like the bass in music, you know, the bass player. I never hear the bass. Jeremy DeWitt has to point out to me what the bass is, right? So if you say, what do you think of the bass player in this? I'll be like, I don't even know what the bass is. I don't think it exists. I think it's like the clitoris. And
or the Holocaust.
so, like, I don't know how to critique editing, so I can't speak to that. What else did he say? It was misdirected?
No story.
Huh?
No story.
How about preachy?
There was no story to follow.
How about preachy?
Well, the documentary is not preachy. He's got to be referring to Justin, I would assume, right? Because
he didn't define what when he says preachy, I have to think religion because he didn't define his. So his review did not clearly define what was being preached. Well, I didn't get preachy from it.
The only preachy part about it was Justin that I remember, and that is. It's a documentary. It's based on a person, a real person. And if that's Justin, if that's what Justin's going to, you know, put out there, then Guillermo really doesn't have any other choice in that matter. You know, that's his character. He filmed real people. Guillermo filmed real people. He went to their homes. He went in here. He asked us questions. We answered. Guillermo wasn't telling us what to say, so I don't know how you really control that.
The one thing that I will say, you know, upon the sneak peek, I made a mention to Guillermo, the hurricane segment, you know, obviously the video quality is not what Guillermo would have wanted it to be. So maybe he's speaking of, you know, the production value of that. Because I thought the same thing, but you know, Guillermo took a risk by including that, understanding that the production value wasn't what he wanted it to be because it was shot with a smartphone. But the story was the most important part. And when you can get past it being a little bit lower quality and understand why that was such an important piece of the documentary of a toy collector, you know, talking about, you know, not leaving a hurricane area to protect his collection, that was a calculated risk, and it was totally worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard because I gotta agree with Peter. That might have been one of the nicest negative reviews I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
I mean, ever.
Right.
And to follow that up, I just thought it would be nice to go back and revisit some of our negative reviews on our podcast. Is that okay with you guys?
Always.
Go for it, buddy.
All right. I will say we don't have a lot of negative, and there is a couple good ones I want to read, but I want to read the negatives first, okay? 1 year ago, Mike the Cleaner gave us a 1 out of 5. And he says, these guys talk for maybe 20 minutes about toys, and the rest of the show is just virgins talking about terrible life choices.
He's half right. I mean, we're not virgins, but
yes.
He's right about the 20 minutes of toys.
And the terrible life choices.
So now if he listened to the Patreon episode, he would know that only Steven's a virgin. Well, I mean, he did penetrate that couch pillow that one time, but.
Rampant misogyny.
I love this one.
Eric Montez says, I found this podcast while looking for every Avengers Endgame review I could find. From the start, I was turned off by this podcast's self-indulgent two-minute intro, and after that, the episode didn't get much better. And I lost all hope after hearing multiple misogynistic comments from Steve, one of the hosts.
Why do I get singled out for that?
This podcast is trash. Thumbs down.
What's really funny is what kind of man complains about a podcast being misogynistic? This is some, like, liberal arts major that took these, like, feminism classes to try and get laid and failed miserably, but still has it in his head, you know? Like, you're not a man. Sorry.
Agreed. And I also agree that this podcast is trash, and that's why people like it. So, fuck you.
The only difference is I would have given it 2 thumbs down, but whatever.
Misogynistic nerds. Smallville fan 72, which is sad. I love Smallville as well. Enjoyed their review of Mythic Legions figures, but I won't sub due to their misogynistic comments. How do these guys have wives? They are most Trump supporters.
Well, first and foremost, I voted third party, but that's probably neither here nor there. That's the problem with the people that don't know us. You know, that's the randomness of some person stumbling on. And we knew that right from the start, that if they stumbled and they didn't have any backstory about us or anything, we knew that was going to happen. You know, who cares?
Can you imagine somebody that this is the first episode of us they listen to?
Did one of the hosts really just call out a guy, a known member that lives locally by name that's in their group? Yeah, he did. Okay.
That is the last of the negative reviews. I do want to read a couple of more recent ones that I don't think maybe you guys saw. Toy collector Nerdman posted, funny and fun, 5 out of 5 stars. These guys crack me up. Love hearing their back and forth banter and all the news about new toys. Pocho 79 wrote, great podcast. All the guys make me laugh. The show really encapsulates what toy collecting is all about.
Good job, Travis. Good job. I love the way you sounded that one out, and you just kept working at it till you got it, buddy. That's progress.
So, you know what? I just realized that that's what we need to call Steve from now on. We need to call him Bruce Banter. And then he turns into the Hulk when he goes on his rants. So That's Steve's new nickname.
Bruce Banner.
Yeah, Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner was just going back and forth, and then Pete stepped on him one too many times, and he hulked the fuck right out. So.
The Fat Boys of Podcasting. If you're easily offended, steer clear, Daisy. If you want to listen to three offensive fat toy collectors saying whatever they want to say to whoever they want and being hilarious while they do it, you might have just found your new favorite podcast. I did.
Yeah, I like that one.
Cornboy May 66. All right, that wraps up reviewing the reviews with Trav. And
I'm gonna do a little side episode where I review you reviewing the reviews. It's gonna be awesome. This is my review of Travis reviewing reviews. So, I think I already said thanks, UPS. So, you want to roll it? Steve, I saw you get up and get some stuff.
I did.
You did.
Got some cool stuff.
I bet that is cool.
Kind of a big week.
Oh, I forgot. Wolfgang Customs. Big sale. Started today. Get in there. Get it.
Shut up.
Started yesterday.
Thanks, UPS guy. We've had enough of your bullshit.
Started yesterday, but it's there. I got a couple of these, guys. Can you see?
You Come did back. It.
Yeah. Combatants.
You did it.
Yeah. I had to try them out. And I got.
Like you did too, because they're still in the box.
Well, no. Right up. Absolutely wrong, because I have one out of the box. This guy's pretty cool. A removable helmet, so it's not just a different head. It's actually a helmet that fits.
These are basically gladiator figures, for those of you that don't know.
Yep. Pretty nice. I mean, very, very pretty good articulation. I'm not seeing anything that I don't like about the articulation. Doesn't come like a McFarlane toy where you can't pose it in certain poses, because he doesn't like that. He doesn't like the way he doesn't want his figure posed in a certain pose. These are pretty straightforward. They're cool. They lack a little bit of, they don't have that same, their skin doesn't have like the, and of course I'm going to compare these to Mythic Legions. They're medieval-ish figures, gladiator, like Pete said, style figures. I mean, they're similar to figures that we've gotten in Mythic Legions. Carpathius, is it not Carpathius? Clavius has almost a very similar helmet to this. But you don't get that almost airbrushed look and the muscles that you get with Mythic Legion. The skin tones are just like, they're basically the plastic. It doesn't look like they've gotten any kind of a treatment other than just raw flesh or Caucasian looking skin on this one. There's not a whole lot. Armor, I think, you know, when, like I said, it's hard not to compare these to Mythic Legions. It's cool armor, but I mean, if this was a Mythic Legion, I bet you all these little bolts and nuts on the end, on the pieces of the armor, I bet you they'd have a dab of paint on them. We're not getting that quite of a detail, and they are, you know, comparable in price, if not more. I don't know. I bought these secondhand, so I'm sure I paid a premium for them. I got them from David Bond. So that's the negatives. The positives.
When you say premium, what are you saying, Steve?
Well, I paid 60. I don't know what they were originally. If these were $30 figures or $35 figures or what. Do you have any idea, Trav?
I don't. I just know that it's so hard for me, and I understand it's a different line. I get all that, but it's hard for me to pull the trigger on those because they just seem like they're substantially more than Mythic Legions. And I was like, I would rather just spend that money on Mythic Legions.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I'm feeling about this. I think it's cool. I think that, and I almost don't think they look real great with Mythic Legions standing next to them, but I'm a stickler on that sort of stuff. I guess I probably won't buy anymore unless one just strikes me, like, comes out and is like, whoa, I gotta have that. Because of the design is so cool. The positives I was gonna get to is, like, their helmets and stuff, they're soft. I mean, you can squish this. And their armor, most of the armor that's on them is the same way. Like, his shoulder pauldrons is a thin piece of rubbery material. His arm coverings are thin pieces of rubbery material. That is pretty cool because you can get it allows for pretty good articulation because it's all so movable and pliable. So that's I guess.
Pliable. Okay, that's what I was gonna ask. So it actually, do you find that? I mean, with it moving, does it better when you pose a figure? If the armor moves with it, do you find that actually gives a more pleasing aesthetic than what would be a hard plate piece?
It can, yeah. In this case, like, I can put... let me try to show you a little bit of an example here. I can put his arm kind of sticking straight up like that. And, you know, a Mythic Legion, when you're dealing with these pauldrons... You know, I couldn't really do that with this figure, because you know, right. Unless if I took the pauldron off, you could. But
right.
You know, obviously though,
it's weird that you grabbed that one, Steven, that has a head on it that nobody's actually seen.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah, happens sometimes.
Pete, can I ask you kind of a weird question? And I'm not trying to derail Steven's toy talk. Nipple, nipple. Does your feed kind of slow down every once in a while Steve's talking and it makes him sound like he's Down syndrome?
No, mine's freezing.
Okay.
Every now and again.
Okay. I couldn't tell if it was really that the Wi-Fi was slowing down or if Steve really just sounded Down syndrome.
Really just absolutely come say hi.
So I'm confused.
Say hi.
I don't know if you're using this opportunity to make a joke about me or if you're really telling me we're having bad audio.
I can't tell the difference. Because when I hear...
I can't wait to read the review on the quality of this episode. Hopefully it's as pleasant as Mr. Bronze was.
When I hear the Down syndrome... Which I'm not making fun of Down syndrome at all. But then I look at your picture on my screen, your face is matching the sound.
So are you making a joke? Or are you telling me...
You just sounded Down syndrome right there.
You're so stupid. I hate you. Sometimes. I'm going to wrap that up because I don't think anybody cares, I guess. They're pretty fun, though. I like them. I don't love them. Won't be buying 100-plus figures of them. But they're neat.
Oh, damn! Look at you, Mr. Big Time! Steve just pulled out a picture of, pulled out a figure of the G.I. Joe Viper Classified Series. So all the crying is going on about freaking Steve goes, look at me, Big Money Pashotti!
Yeah, I did some dirty dealing with Bob Rieger.
Oh, you're frick, dude.
Oh, dude, every deal is dirty with the Rieg.
Dude, you do need to quarantine. Holy crap, man.
Oh, yeah. I didn't wear a condom either. You should, when you do a toy trade with Rieger, you should.
This is super funny because you're playing right into my top 10, Steve. I love it.
Oh,
ooh, Zartan. So good.
diaper wearing Firefly.
Yep. In his bomb disposal gear.
Yeah, his bomb disposal gear that is unremovable according to Vala, which I don't care what you say about Vala, his critique of that figure is dead on. That figure could have been cool. Yeah. And last but not least,
I just picked a fight in the Cabal in case anybody was interested. So,
oh damn, Steve, you're going hard, dude. What the hell? I thought you were out of toys.
You thought I was out of toys? That's the Mandalorian with Child, 6-inch Black Series that Kyle actually had in studio last week, and I tried to buy it from him, an extra one off from the end of the show and off the air, and he basically told me no. So, fuck you,
he's
Kyle.
He's got one to open. He's got one to open, one to keep on the thing, and one for trade bait. And you were like, well, I would like the trade bait one. And he's like, no, I'm keeping that one for trade bait.
he's old and senile, and he doesn't get it. So, yeah, that's a pretty good toy haul. I thought, picked up some cool things, and, yeah. I did, I actually, you know, Rieger knows how it works a lot better because he traded me some stuff for that stuff. So Rieger actually used his trade bait for actual trade bait. See how that works?
Wow. What'd you trade him?
Some Thundercats. Oh. Sorry. I traded him some Thundercats. And he owes me money.
Cash. How did you give up your Thundercats?
I didn't. I had an extra set.
No, look at you go, buddy.
Yeah,
look
see? See, I know how trade bait works, too.
We're not going to have Pete on for the rest of this episode because he decided to start a shit fire in the Cabal.
Okay, so let's do it. We're live drama right now, okay? So, here's my post in the Mythic Legions Cabal. After seeing all the experts on here saying how the Horsemen should be doing this crowdfunding campaign with the new game and figures, I would love to see your game and toy companies. Post up a link to your original toy line or original video game so we can all check them out. So the first were just some laughs. And then Timothy Lopez says, so people can't have suggestions in this group unless they have a toy company? Collectors know what they want. And then Tyler Wilson, it's a meme of Will Ferrell saying, the math seems to check out. And then I said, so people can't make a joke about other people having suggestions in this group? And then Timothy Lopez says, I think only comedians should make jokes. At least that way they are funny. So I said, I'm closer to a comedian than most are to toy designers. But I do agree that I'm not always funny. I can send you a clip if you like. So we shall see.
I think you missed probably the best comment on there, which was by this guy. I've heard the name before. I'm not familiar with it, but Tim Sawyer. What was his comment, Peter?
I can tell you. Pete, you got some brown stuff on your nose, buddy.
But I don't get that, because who am I supposedly brown nosing?
The horseman? Maybe? That's what I take it as.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's really not about brown nosing anybody. It's about telling people to shut the fuck up. So, but while Mark DeRosa agrees with Timothy, don't need a toy company to have an educated opinion. Agreed.
Thank God for the internet.
Don't need to have a comedy special on Netflix to make a bad joke.
Right, this is Pete's day is wrecked. His day is done.
What's super funny about it is you look at the likes and immediately it's laughing faces from Tim Sawyer and Jennifer Sykes and, you know, all the usual suspects. Yeah. Because most of those people don't know who I am. They just think I'm being an asshole, and I love it. I'm going to heal it up Steve style on the Cabal today. So.
Walter's gonna just be sitting back there shaking his head while he's pounding energy drinks and fucking listening to Anthrax.
I keep waiting for the Walter. He's gonna give me the devil. Get a beat.
Well, in one hand he's got his phone messaging 500 Cabal members,
telling everybody to relax. It's just Pete. He thinks he's funny, guys. It's just Pete. Oh, was that all you got, Steve? Anything else cool in the toy room there? Did you just take your belt off?
I did just take my belt off because my fat is hurting.
Okay.
We've been there, dude. We've been there.
I love how he gets more dressed up to record on Skype in his toy room than he does when he had sweatpants on when he came to the studio last week.
Yeah, like, and not like cool sweatpants. He had like old man sweatpants.
They were not cool sweatpants. They were like off the rack at Meijer, you know, like the kind of sweatpants an old man wears when he has to have a colostomy bag or like a catheter bag strapped to his leg, you know.
Hey, don't talk about that shit right now, all right? I don't know where I'm headed.
You realize, like, but a catheter bag would have nothing to do with your butthole. A colostomy would, but I misspoke. I corrected it.
All right, guys. I'm done, so.
Steve, what else do you got?
I don't have anything else, do I?
Okay, but really, Steven, how should I get my heads? Should I just order painted ones? Does that make it easier for you and Len? Or should I get unpainted and then you paint them?
I'm not sure you have the option to get painted ones at this point.
Ooh, sold out already.
No, you just got cut off. He's got plenty. He's just not sharing them with you.
I know one of them was on the verge, and I don't know if it's still there or not.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to figure it out, because I want
He's only got one head that he's willing to part with, and it's going to be the one that was painted by the inside of his rectum that was blocking the colostomy camera, so that they had to pull out.
It's going to come out with the head right on it. The camera.
The doctor's going to look at the nurse and be like,
the camera's going to have a little dwarf head on it.
Oh, looks like you still can get one.
Okay.
Nurse, what do you see on the end of the camera there? I don't know. It looks like some tacky putty inside of a hole. What is that? Tried to put a 2.0 head on a 1.0 body. You did some Cetapack in there, bud. I got it.
So Steven was nice enough to not hang out with us this morning, but he drove up to my house and left a package under my doorbell, and then texted me and said, "There's a package under your doorbell." Because he's such a fucking weirdo.
No, this is it. So I was looking so forward to recording because I wanted to give this to you, and I wanted to see you like it, hopefully. And I was so excited about it, and then this happened, and I have to quarantine now. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to drive it up to him and drop it off so he can still, I can still give it to him.
I like it. I like it.
Which, fortunately, it was his wallet he lost this morning on his keys, or else he never would have gotten them.
Of course, the first one is, I don't think you've seen one of them. Or maybe you have now, but.
I have not seen you post a picture of this, and I don't know how well it's going to show up for you, Peter.
Yeah,
not at all.
It's garbage.
Okay, yep.
Not the paint job. It's obviously very nicely painted. The quality, when you guys go to show, it dims lights out and stuff. It screws things up.
So this head is a dwarf head. It literally looks like it would be Steven if he became a dwarf. If he grew out his beard and his hair, it's literally Steven. Right? Steve, what do you think?
Sure.
It is a beautiful face sculpt. I'm pretty sure this was this the Tower of Power or Toys Power or Power Tower?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was that frickin' stud designer who my action figure customs ended up hooking up with. He'd always kind of done his own thing. I think, you know, probably casted them and sold them at a limited number, and he got into bed with William Robert Post, and now he's like just pumping out these beautiful dwarf heads. And
It's just a beautiful sculpt. And Steve, this might be one of your best paint jobs ever. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's just a big brown-haired dwarf with a big old beautiful beard with a couple ties in it as he's got his like mustache twisted up. And then there is another one which is very similar, that it's a dwarf, but this is like a gray bearded dwarf with some real cool. I love what you did color wise with the figs to, you know, hold his. I don't know. What would you call those? Dreads? Not dreads.
What are they? I don't called? Know. Holds his mustache.
Yeah, Pete. What are they called when people like twist their beard or mustache up into like big things, and then you can have that like, you know?
You mean like you're talking about like the big beads and stuff? Yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily a name for it.
Regardless, it's freaking cool. And, dude, you really killed it with these. Are you proud of yourself on these, Steve?
Yeah, those turned out pretty good. I thought that they were, I thought that was a little step forward in what I've been doing.
Dude, the color of their skin is absolutely amazing. Steve, what I would recommend you do is you start getting like your extra stuff painted, and when you go sell art at shows, you also now set up like one of those like the spool racks or whatever, and have the little heads on them with price tags below them. Dude, I bet you could sell heads at shows.
Maybe. I don't know. We could try and see.
What would you think, Pete? Do you think people would do that?
You know, I think people are stupid. Because I'm reading this post. I'm not even listening to you right now. So, I honestly think Steven, could. The problem, the biggest problem is, in order to do that well, you've got to have serious inventory. You can't have a table with three heads, a shield, and a painted body on it. You know what I mean? It would have to be, you really have to, step up your inventory game, but, you know, so.
I think that would go down at certain shows, you know.
Yeah, toy shows and.
Yeah, maybe.
Kane County.
Maybe Kane County.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
be fun.
Dude, you absolutely killed them. They're beautiful, and I can't even wait to add them to my dwarf army.
So you, I figured you'd just throw them in a drawer.
No, I already got the one on a body, and I'm going to find a body for the brown bearded one because they're that amazing, dude. You killed it. Speaking of amazing, I got to show you guys a couple things, and I'm really bummed that it's going to be quality-wise through the Zoom, but I'm hoping you at least can gather what I got. I've shared some pictures of them already.
Travis is on his feet. He's getting some things. I think I know what they are because I think I've already seen images, really good images of these. Yes, I have. So
this was the My Action Figure Customs Hammer of Doom. And long story short, William Robert posted pictures of this in his group, and, you know, obviously unpainted, you know, not actually designer. I mean, it was just the 3D rendering, I think. Shoot. Anyway, he pretty much then said, yeah, it's too much of a pain to print, but I'm going to do six of them, and, you know, six people that comment here will get one. And he then just rando, and I was fortunate enough to get one of them. Gave it to Hobby Lobby immediately, and he painted it up. And it is just kind of a really cool piece. What did you think of it, Steve?
It's one of those pieces that's got so much stuff going on in it, you really got to stare at it for a while. It's got two, like, ram skulls. Like mountain goat type looking horns on them. Back to back, and those would be the surfaces that you smash something with. You'd swing a ram skull at something, and then the other side of it is also a ram skull. And there's all kinds of detail packed in there. But like I said, this is one that even in pictures, it's you look at it and you're like, okay, that's eye candy. But it takes my brain a little bit to sort out all of that stuff going on in it. And I have not seen it in person, so I can't wait to see it. But Chris's paint job on it really made things pop. You know, he always does. So it's a pretty cool piece. How heavy is it?
Heavy.
Do you think it'll create problems with your figure standing?
I do.
Okay.
And even post, like, when I talked to him about it, when I sent him a picture and everything, he goes, make sure you, God, did you, he asked, did you super glue the figure's feet to the ground? And the reality of it is, now, I've got it on a, I've got the tower holding it with a custom head and that skull bandolier also from my figure customs. He actually holds it really well. I just would have concern about it taking a tumble. Now, I would have no problem with Steve coming over. I could see Steve putting this in a real cool pose where it's actually on the ground, and then, you know, he's using it to support him as well. I could see that working real well, too. But the pose that Hobby Lobby's got it in right now works pretty well, too, because it just balances just well enough that enough of the figure's weight is back. But the weird thing is the hammer literally weighs about as much as a figure.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Pete's still engaged on the Cabal. He hasn't looked up. He's deep in thought.
I'm listening. It's great. It's a hammer. Steve's going to pose it. I get it. It's awesome.
I'm just giving everybody play-by-play. They need to know what you're doing. He's
Well, there's a guy that's really upset. He students can't stand posts or comments like this, as if everyone is a brain-dead moron, so their thoughts or opinions don't matter. A smart business-educated person can run any type of business because at the core, they all function the same. One core concept these stupid comments try to diminish is the feedback from the loyal customer base. Only a fool says they know everything and would ignore suggestions or comments on best practices moving forward. So then I was like, so my opinion upsets people while they come to the defense of other people's opinions. Either we're all right or none of us is. That's kind of how opinions work, guys.
Peter.
Oh, boy.
Somebody just called me Captain White Knight. Is that an insult? Because I'm not sure.
Oh, White Knight is anybody that comes to the defense. So I guess you're White Knighting for the Four Horsemen?
Which is funny because that guy is White Knighting for the people's opinion.
Absolutely he is.
I also have this thing that is literally like from nightmares. And Steven, did you see pictures of this?
Yep, I did. I saw pictures of that quite possibly before you did, unless he was keeping you updated.
He was keeping me pretty updated. Peter, what do you think of this thing?
That's cool as hell, man. It really is.
Did you see pictures of it too, Peter?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So to describe it, this is the NECA alien, I think it was spider alien, I think it was called, probably snake alien. It is the back half of it, which looks like a snake's body. It's a snake bone. He put a Legion Builder skeleton, the 2.0 body on top of it, gave it the sweet Namor spear that he painted up, and then added a hood, which he painted as well, from like one of the Rangers or maybe even one of the females. And then we threw on some bone skeletal wings, which really just screams amazing to me. And I absolutely love this thing.
Yeah, that thing is cool. It's, you know, it looks scary and dead, and the paint job is amazing on it, and it's a skeletal, it's a snake skeleton thing that is just cool as hell.
It's another, you know, we talk a lot about Hobby Lobby's ability to paint, but when he does something like that, and don't get me wrong, he's not the first. I mean, this is something, you know, we've seen some cool pictures of this in the Cabal. That's obviously where the idea came from for me. Because I like just getting on there and looking at pictures, not getting everybody worked up about their opinions not being valid. But it's just this
fun piece that Chris put together and added his little twinkle to, and just kind of screams fun. And Steve, you have this ability too. I still have an orc that's very prominent in my collection that you put war paint on and added some McFarlane pieces, you know, because of your obsession with Jeremy Gerard and how vanilla you both are, that, you know, you're like, well, he can make LBCs. I could do that too. And you created this thing of beauty, yeah. And I still love it to this day.
LBC inspired more LBC happening.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Is that all you got, buddy?
I got one more.
Oh.
But I haven't posted pictures of it, and I don't want U2's first experience to be through a crappy Wi-Fi thing. I would rather you guys got to see it either in person or at least see some really cool pictures. So I'm going to save that one, and I'm going to drop pictures of it this week.
Okay. Sounds good. Pete McCarthy?
Oh, Josh Jones coming to the rescue. Not that I'm speaking for Pete, but I feel like his message was more along the lines of this. The Four Horsemen have made it clear the whole time I've been a fan that they care about the fans. They are completely accessible to all of us and appreciate our feedback. But I bet they are sick and tired of hearing all the spoiled bitch comments, though. There is a difference in making suggestions and having an opinion and just being a shithead. Every time they release something, there is a flood of spoiled bitches crying about what they wanted or what the Horsemen should do. I, for one, love the model the Horsemen use and am grateful for the relationship they share with all of us. But I may be wrong. So I said, boom! Well said, Josh. It also speaks to the fact that it was all done after things launched. You don't make suggestions. It's already done, guys. The milk's already spilt. You wanted to make suggestions, it happens beforehand, not during when you get upset. Oh, now we got another guy against me. Damn it. So somebody posted the one guy posted about how all businesses are run the same. So somebody comes back and says, so running a hospital is the same as running a deli? And I was like, well, in his defense, the hospital morgue is very much like a deli. I'm gonna just crush it over and over again this whole time.
No. You ever see Pete so happy, Travis?
Yeah, I've seen him do this kind of stuff in groups before, and it is what makes him the happiest in life.
The one guy said that my joke bombed really hard, and I was like, well, yes and no. There are more positive emoticons than negative comments. You don't have to make the whole crowd laugh every joke, just the majority. All right. So anyways, what are we doing? Are we podcasting? I forget. Okay, so I'm good. I got dice for Thanks UPS Guy. And they're ginormous, and I love them. So,
what are the designs on them?
They're skulls. And so
you have to count those skulls?
Yeah, the skulls are like the, I don't know, what are they called? They call, there's a name for that dot on a dice.
I've never understood that, Pete. Why don't they just put the number on there instead of putting all those designs?
I don't know. But these are awesome. They're like the size of a baseball.
Because that's what design people do is take designs and make things look
skulls
cool.
And arrows, yeah, and bows,
I've
and
gotta
swords.
I've
got to
look at that dice and count. Okay, that's six because of the skulls. That takes me longer than if it just was the number six.
Well,
because
most people aren't significantly ignorant, and they actually recognize the pattern. The average person, by the time that they're 8 years old, can look at a die and by the pattern know what the number is. If there's only one dot, it's one. If there's two rows of three, it's six. So it's not just, you know, most people don't have to count each individual dot on a die. They can just look and see that there's three there. So, but unfortunately, your limited mental capacity doesn't allow that. So you're probably hella fun to, like, play Yahtzee with because you roll three threes and you have to count each one and go, oh, that's a three, that one's a three, that one's a three. So.
Do you remember when the principal
that
came?
That was pretty fun, Travis.
No one will play Yahtzee with me.
Do you remember when the principal came to see your mom when you were a child and said, he's going to have to go to a special school? Is there a Mr. Bowles? Miss Bowles?
Your mom really cares about your education, son. Oh, Pam took the principal for a ride to get you into regular school.
Oh, my mom would have done that too. Not because she loved me, just because she was a whore.
Oh, come on. You can't say that somebody's a whore just because the first 8 times they meet your friends, they're not wearing a bra. Come on.
My Travis is going to have the same education as everybody else.
You know what this episode needed? It needed a little Jeremy DeWitt. I think if Jeremy DeWitt would have been here, oh, shit, who knows?
I think it needs, it, you know, they're always different when we do them over Skype.
This could have been a 4-hour love fest.
All right. Is that it then? So you got top 10, Pete?
I do.
Oh.
So make sure we have the top 10 for the finale. I want to make sure we didn't forget anything. We talked about Wolf King Sale, right?
Yep, live now. Make sure you get over there and get it. WolfKingCustoms.com.
We talked about the Horseman's Game, obviously, and all that stuff.
Yep, and it's halfway funded now. I think I want to say 11 days left. I imagine it's going to get there. Amazing figures, cool game. Obviously, if you get involved in this, you're actually – what's the funny thing about this is these guys will be looking for your comments. They want you to have an influence on the game, even though Peter does not. They are looking for fans to be able to play a role in this.
Those people aren't talking about the game. They're bitching that the crowdfunding is only 2 weeks long and that you have to do this to get the figures and blah. That's what they're bitching about. They're not even bitching about the game.
So
they're bitching about the way it's being done.
So we also have talked about the Mad Lib or the Myth Libs thing.
Yep. We'll get into more of that. We'll get into more depth on that on Legion's Cast, I'm sure, or you guys will. So.
And I think that's it, right? We missing anything?
No, so we're on Skype this morning because Steven repeatedly has chosen to self-quarantine.
chosen!
Because he hates people. And that's not one of the reasons. So this is the top 10 reasons that Steve had to quarantine in order to stay safe. So, in no particular order, he touched Travis's doorbell this morning. So you never know what's on that. Last week, his secretary handed him a fax from an office where there was a COVID outbreak. He was afraid that there might have been COVID on the facsimile. The condom broke while he was masturbating.
Well, he can't be too safe.
He was concerned after episode 200 because there was over 100 people in the crowdcast. And that was a strict violation of the governor's regulations. He self-quarantined at the end of December because he realized that his furnace filter was not good enough for COVID particles. So it may have just been pumping through his whole house.
Could have been.
He watched an episode of House, and he learned that COVID leads to sarcoidosis, or it's lupus, because it could always be lupus. But it turns out it was just histoplasmosis psychosis. Histoplasmosis psychosis is the official term for batshit crazy. Due to his colonoscopy, because unfortunately Jeremy found something, and now they're both concerned, so he wanted to get it checked out. He heard that he stubbed his toe, and he heard that COVID enters through the toes more than other parts of the body. And last but not least, when Trump called the coronavirus the Kung Flu or the Chinese virus, he immediately became terrified because he has not trusted Asians since Pearl Harbor. So Jesus. The top 10 reasons why Steve self-quarantined, the number one reason just being he hates people. So
pretty accurate. I do kind of hate people.
Oh.
All right, well, I guess that's a show then. Wrapping up, Pete.
Oh, hey, real quick, did you guys watch episode 3 of WandaVision?
I did.
Dang. What'd you think?
Oh, you haven't?
Oh, you didn't watch it?
Trav? I haven't watched it yet.
We won't spoil it.
Oh.
Okay.
I liked it, I'll say that.
I will tell you, and I pointed this out to my wife, there are a couple of moments where you see Wanda's, what I would call her O-face, and it's amazing.
Okay, so, two things real quick. One, did Amanda like it?
Amanda doesn't dislike it. I mean, she, you know, she's the, she kind of grew up on the I Love Lucy, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's not getting home from work and like chomping at the bit to watch it, but neither was I. No, I was excited about watching it so we could talk about it. Yeah. You know, but, and I'm interested because I'm, we're all starting to see kind of where it's going. And, you know, they've given us the most information here in episode 3 of the, kind of what's happening, which is super cool. And I think we're all going to be, I think we're all going to be pleasantly surprised that we were all right, only we were not 100% right, because I think they've got something pretty cool in store for us. So.
Agreed. Also, do you guys love Elizabeth Olsen as much as I do?
Yeah, I like her. I don't know. I like her acting. I think she's hot. I think, yeah. And I like her.
This show has shown me more of her and acting wise. And I really like her. I mean, I've liked her since I saw her screw her dad in Old Boy. Okay. Spoiler, by the way.
Well, but see, therein lies that you don't have, Everything that you have comes from an area of perversion.
Yes.
Yes. Right. It was rhetorical because it was accurate and true. I didn't, you know, I wanted to put that out there. So,
yeah.
I understand that like, she won an Oscar for her performance in this, but she filleted her dad in that one movie. So she's good in my book, you know. So.
She's hot, and I love Paul Bettany, even I just continue to love that guy.
Yeah.
I'd like to have him read me a bedtime story every night. Paul Bettany.
The Book of the Duchess.
Whatever.
Can I ask you guys this? If you're a dumb person, do you think you would like WandaVision?
I'm not sure. It a little bit has to do with being dumb. But some people are just so damn impatient. You know, we live in the society. Things have changed so much. You know, back when Star Wars, the original Star Wars came out, did you know people, the critic of that show, the original A New Hope, was that it moves too fast? Back in the 1970s, people thought that movie moved too fast.
Wow.
I love that movie, nowadays... No. I try to, sometimes I have a hard time not falling asleep, and they haven't even gotten away from the Jawas yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Pearson and I broke it into two pieces because he started to lose interest. So I paused it, and we came back later and watched the second half.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think our whole way we ingest entertainment is so ADD now that a lot of people, they can't just relax and say, okay, they're building towards something, and I'm going to have to have a little patience and see if it pays off. And in the end, it's either going to pay off or it's not. But for now, I got to just give this a chance and let it breathe.
The problem with the MCU is it's kind of like the old school rope-a-dope. They've been getting freaking left jabs for so long, they were expecting another left jab. They were expecting another big, here's big actors, big movies, big production value, all this other stuff. And this is not that. You know, the if you look back at all of the movies, there's no such thing as a slow burn. They all kind of came out of the gate swinging in some way, shape, or form, and knew how to do those movies, and then put all those movies together and created this incredible universe. Again, it's all back to patience. You hit the nail on the head. A hardcore Marvel fan is enjoying this because of the anticipation for what they're going to see. How are they going to shock me and do all of this? Somebody that's just a fan of the movies, they watch that first episode and they may never go back. And that sucks because they're really going to miss out. Now what's going to happen is it's going to hit everybody's going to love it and be like, oh my God, Feige, you're the man. Then they're going to end up going back and watching all of it, just like people did with The Office. I didn't watch The Office until it was done for 2 or 3 years. Nobody could believe that somebody like me didn't find it funny. It took me 3 tries to get through the first season, and now it's one of my favorite shows in the entire world. But it took everybody else to tell me that before I gave it a chance. I think that's what's going to happen with WandaVision.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, and I imagine that's the route it's going to go. I want to throw out real quick, I watched a horror movie recommended to me by Hobby Lobby. It was more of a suspense than horror. It's a very weird situation because the movie is called The Empty Man. I want you both to watch it so bad. But it's one of those movies that was filmed by Fox Studios in 2017. And apparently during 2020, Disney's like, well, I guess we'll just put this out. Literally put the preview out 1 week before the movie came out. 1 week.
Wow.
And the movie dropped and, of course, made like $3 million.
One week? That's less of a preview and more of a trailer before a movie.
Yes. 1 week before it dropped. But with that said, for being like this B-level movie, I really loved it. I really loved it. And maybe one of the things I loved the most about it was Justice came and stayed the night at my house, and I made him watch it. And you guys are going to be kind of surprised by this, but Justin is a big bitch and doesn't like horror movies.
Wait a minute. Justin Curry?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Not only is he a big bitch, Justin is a little bit religious. And so when you watch a movie that's got occult themes in it, he gets really freaked out. And I got to tell you, when you see a 40-year-old man covering his face with a blanket
and praying while he rubs his rosary,
while a scary movie is playing, it's a pretty good goddamn feeling.
It's one thing when my wife did it was kind of hot. You know what I mean? Like, I'll protect you from the evil dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is hot.
Oh, yeah, boys. All right, The Empty Man. Go check it out. Let me know what you think.
All right. I'm not going to.
Make sure you guys jump on and play on the Cabal with me. It's fun.
All right.
Hi.
Yeah, this is where. See, now I can't play the music to let Pete know that I want him to.
Oh, that's right. Yep, sorry.
To enter, to do it.
Wrapping up episode 202 of the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast. We got lots of good stuff going on. Make sure you're checking out Legion's Cast as well, following along with the Horsemen as they crowdfund their most recent endeavor, which is some great figures. And also some extra goodies along with a video game. More information there. There's some chances to get in and participate with us. If you guys are not in the support group, you know, do that. That's a lot of fun. If you've got an extra couple of bucks and you want to support the Patreon, we really try hard to get some exclusive content out for the Patreon listeners and give them some opportunities that the average listener doesn't get. So you'll consider that as well. Make sure you check out Wolf King Custom Sale. It's going to be over by the time you hear this. Other than that, support everybody. And make sure that if you guys, just like on the Cabal, if you are a fantasy football guy, make sure you're writing the Detroit Lions and telling them what they should do for a new quarterback, because they care, okay? Make sure you tell them that they need a different GM and all that stuff, because, again, you play fantasy football, so you are more than qualified to tell the Lions how to run that organization. So, which is what's going on in the Cabal right now, in case you guys didn't get the analogy. For your host, Steve Bisciotti, co-host Travis Bullseye, and Pete McCarthy, and until next time, we'll see you guys in the toy aisle.
Yeah, I wanted to end on Pete said that the Wolf King sale will be over by the time you hear this. No, it won't. It goes for like another week. So, and I'll have this up today or tomorrow.
I thought it was a weekend sale. That's my bad.
Nope.
Kind of like our Patreon episode that we shared.
You know what? I forgot about it. Like, I forgot we did it. But it's okay. It's still good. It can still happen. Bye, everybody.